Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And hello, how are you? Welcome in to Gwen and Chris. Happy Wednesday to you. 2:01 is the time. Kicking things off here. Next 4 hours, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Actually, a big long day for you to settle back in. Wednesdays, you get Gwen and Chris till 6. You get the Scraby Chronicles from 6 to 7. And then
Big Sam.
Big Sam. Big Sam. Sammy Levitt will have the Inside San Diego Baseball show from 7 to 9 tonight. So you're set for the foreseeable future. Before we get into it, some trade rumors talk about Padres. We'll get into that shortly. Also, Aztecs basketball last night. Then how much of that anybody watched?
It was a close one.
Not really. Hey, weep. Not really. We'll talk a little bit of Aztecs hoops. We got NFL later with Brent Sobleski, one of our favorites from Bleacher Report. And Bryce Miller's going to join us today as well. We also have a new segment.
Real quick, sir. Can I give – I think we should give some love to our producer. The Brent Sobleski poll –
that has been like the white whale for Scraby for a while.
And he finally was able to lock him in, have some NFL talk. And, you know, it's a step up for Mr. Scraby.
This is a backhanded compliment.
It is. Usually Scraby gives a half a phone call, and if the guy says no, that's kind of the end of it.
But I respect people when they tell me
Scraby
no.
Scraby used one, to be really like the annoying mosquito.
Yes.
He is no longer annoying mosquito.
We want the gnat back.
He's polite.
The G-N-A-T.
He is,
you know,
like
that little annoying
considerate
bug
of other people's time, which
stop doing that.
Which doesn't actually make him a good producer now. Like, when he was the
what
Nat
is happening
and was like constantly calling people. We had Brett Sobleski all the
time.
You
know what I think nowadays, maybe why I was different in the beginning, because we need to pave our own way. And now we're a show that's established in San Diego. If the people
So now, I see. So now when they don't want to come on, we're too big to ask a second time.
No, I always try to get people on. I always do. And I always feel bad for the third time when I'm like, okay, here's an example.
For the record, I'm just giving Scraby a hard time.
Yeah. No, but I think he's giving you a rough ride into the boards here.
Let me give you an example. So I'll text
you know,
I'll use Kirk Kenny. This has not happened, but I'm going to use Kirk Kenny because he's a friend.
Okay.
I'll text him, "Hey, can you come on Thursday at 2:40? And he'll be like, "Can't do 2:40. I'll be like, "All right, what about 3:40? "Can't do 3:40. That's when I'm like, do I really want to go back in for the third time?
Okay, since you brought it up, was there a time where you didn't think about, is there really a third You just did it.
I think I was more focused on providing the guests than anything. Like, I know nowadays we can
Yeah, we'll get back to that. We'll
go nonsense. Hey, Tony's been a better producer in the last couple of weeks than I have, that's for
and
sure.
And that's, I think, and where it, this to, is to, born to, from, right
to
here.
To be fair, at the beginning, I completely wasn't comfortable asking more than once. Once I got a no, I was like, hey, sorry, man. Yeah. Can't do
you have also come a long way in inviting people on the show, because there were a few times, like, I would be like, oh, in my head, if Tony just asked this person, it would be so much easier. My life would be so much easier. Tony, can you help? No? Okay. All right. I got to go find someone else.
Well, I'm definitely not good at that. The way I ask people is, hey, you don't want to come on our show, do you? That's normally my
approach. Well, that's
approach.
Not a good way.
And that's why I don't ask.
We've all evolved on the asking
guests.
Doesn't
sound like Chris has evolved at all.
Chris, no, he hasn't evolved.
I do remember the first day of the show, Chris did come through big with some guests. He came through with...
Steve Fisher came on.
Sure I think sure Jim did. Trotter came on that day.
Yeah, I put all my I sent all my markers out for the first day, and I've kind of been lagging ever since. Well, today's a good one, because Bryce Miller's always good talking baseball and everything San Diego, and Brent Cebulski is really great on football. So
we need you on the camera, too.
That is a little bit later on. Did I not? Yes, I don't think I've signed up yet. I'll try to do that as I'm talking here. I'm off to a kind of a shaky start today for a couple of reasons, but here's the main reason. I already had to watch the Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series. Now I come into the studio to do the show, and what does Elston leave up on the television?
Yankees,
the MLB
Dodgers.
Network, which is playing the World Series again. Please. Somebody get a clicker.
You're distracted because of this.
A little
distracted.
It was hard enough to watch the Dodgers win it once. I don't want to watch them win it again.
See, when you watch it over, it should be easier to handle.
It's not.
You don't want to see it.
I think it's tougher to handle this time. I don't want to see this ever again.
Because now you know what happens. Before, you're watching, you don't really know
exactly. There was a chance they could be beat.
Well, future Padre Walker Buehler is pitching right now, so we should actually be scouting what he's doing at the moment.
I say give me a clicker. The other reason I'm a little sour is because, not really sour, but a little, is because there was only one parking spot left today when I got to work. And that's okay, except for the fact that the spot that was open was surrounded on either side by two of those enormously way too huge pickup trucks. You know, the ones that take up like a spot and a half?
Yes.
When did we get to where we had to make pickup trucks so large that they really don't fit with the rest of the world?
I mean, it's a truck-size gripe.
I love this.
First of all,
when did I miss that memo?
At least 2000.
Really? It's been 25 years that we've had trucks driving around.
At least.
They're insanely huge. I mean, these trucks belong in a monster truck rally, not out in the street parking in my parking lot.
Where are you parked? Can I go run downstairs real quick, get a picture of these trucks and block out the license
plate? You can barely see my car.
Where is everything?
It's shadowed there. Look,
He's not going to tell me.
I don't begrudge somebody a large truck, but I mean, a large truck, it's crazy. And wouldn't you know, you can see this coming a mile away, both trucks backed in. Of course. I mean, what would somebody whose truck is in everybody's way to begin with do when it comes to parking?
Listen.
They would get in everybody's way for just a little bit longer while they try to somehow force their round hole into a square peg, because that's what it's like trying to park to one of those trucks in a spot.
Couple of questions.
Go.
Are they in between their lines?
The wheels are touching the lines, but that means the rest of the car is hanging out on the side because it's so big.
I know there's a couple spots.
And there's no way to get the wheels in the lines because the wheels are bigger than my car alone.
That is the fun part about being in the big truck is that You're going to back in there, and you're going to have patience.
You're
going to
clear everything out.
Your car is going to be protected just on its
size alone.
And
now that I've said this, when I come out after the show, my car will probably be sandwiched by both cars trying to leave the parking spot. I'll be an Oreo by
you know,
the end
I
of
did
it.
See when I was pulling up today, I did have to wait behind a car that was backing into the spot and couldn't
see?
Do it. Had to take a second go at it.
I got to say.
But I couldn't yell because you know why? And I waited. It was like an undercover, unmarked police car. And so it said the California exempt on the license plate. I was like, thankfully, I did not honk at this person.
Even our law enforcement is parking backwards,
yeah,
baby. That's
well,
where it's at.
They can't do it, apparently.
It's not where it's at.
Two times.
Can I say, there is a caveat.
Okay.
If you are going to be a reverse parker, you got to
learn how to do it.
You got to be on point.
Yes. Like, you made this point last time.
When you're taking multiple bites of the apple, now you're giving people fodder to be upset with you.
Yeah, that's absurd. If you've got to back your car in, which I think is absurd
backwards
in the beginning, but at least get it right. These trucks are just absolutely gigantic. I don't know how big you need a truck to be out
there. I love
there.
That you just now noticing these trucks, by the
way. Oh, I've noticed them, but I'd never, you know, trying to
are
sneak
they
my car. Are they what?
Dualies?
I didn't read the two tires
in the back.
Yeah.
Those are the big bad boys.
I don't know. These trucks are just enormous. So
I'm going to go look for his car in the break. I got to see what these trucks look like. And I would love for it to be like two small cars next to him because the trucks left.
Well, that could have happened by now, but all I know, and hopefully they didn't hit my car on the way out. But.
I got a daily gripe from Brandon. People that drive BMWs and Mercedes parking sideways across multiple spots so no one can park next to them.
Wow. That's a fair gripe. That's a bold
But if
move
it's in the
right
back
there.
Of the parking lot, I don't care.
No, that's a fair gripe.
Like
taking
where
up
no
two
one
spots?
Else is parking?
Yeah, if there's open spots, but when you're parking in a parking lot that is
as full as
during
busy?
The holiday season.
Yeah.
You're taking up a couple spots, your tires
Listen,
are going to be gone
if
when you get
you're parking
back.
Your car sideways, you
That's
are,
weak.
You're asking.
Yeah, somebody should
you
key your
asking.
Car at
you,
the very minimum.
You're 1,000% at you're 1,000% asking for it.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the video?
I agree
that
with
I
that
sent
one
1,000%. I sent out a video on YouTube and it was met with a lot of disdain by backward parkers everywhere. It was at the Padres game when I was in the MTS lot, and this guy could not back up. So I started videoing the guy, and I commented in the background, like, backwards parkers, man. And then the backwards parker
Listen,
community
we're,
came out in droves.
Yeah, our community's thick. We're not...
Oh,
we're
I'm
not,
sure
to, be,
I'm
we're not
hear,
to be messed with.
I'm going to hear from the big truck people here any moment
now. Yeah,
you're
definitely going to hear from the big truck people.
Because
the
big truck people might be farmers. They might be people that need the big truck for
no
some
way.
Reason. To
Nobody needs a truck that big.
There's a lot of people
no
that...
No way. You're not
said,
hauling anything that important.
He said no way.
Come on. Please, do me a favor. All right. Anyway, I'm here safely and soundly.
Sorry, I have the backwards parking video, but it's too late now.
Yeah,
we don't need
to see it.
That's okay. Here's the deal. The White Sox say they're likely to trade all-star lefty Garrett Crochet. ESPN is reporting this. But what they would like in return is a high-end position player.
What does that mean?
That means not a pitcher, but at least somebody. I would assume
somebody pretty good, young that's on the rise. Like there's,
I would think somebody that's established and good.
Okay.
So I'm asking.
So not necessarily all star, but somebody who could be on the cusp of being that.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't think that they want a minor leaguer. It sounds like they want somebody who's there and already ready to play. Now, Crochet is a kind of an in-demand guy. Padres need a pitcher. Would you explore this if you were the Padres? And if so, where would you go to explore it? I don't know the top of the line position player the Padres could dangle out there, even if they really wanted to get in on this.
I don't know that there's a player.
Don't think so. Okay, fair enough.
Excuse me. I don't know if there's a player on the Padres roster that covers that.
Right.
I also, despite him coming here and proving the point that he was plenty healthy and plenty good when he pitched here at the end of the year, I still wouldn't do it. Like, his injury history is still his injury history. I know he had a good season, stayed healthy, and that's great. But in terms of making a move and trading for him, I think there are other safer bets in terms of the injury history than Crochet. He's plenty talented enough, but again, you have to be able to depend on those.
He's been injured every other year but last year.
Right. And last year was his first year as a starter. So, you know, there's too many variables that you can't control, and you have to get those innings back that you're going to lose from Joe Musgrove.
Right. And if you trade a player that is a key part of your team,
it sounds like it's going to be a value.
Then you truly have to get something back.
Right.
And get those innings.
And it's not to say that you wouldn't, but there's risk in it, is what I'm saying. And it may be too big of a risk.
Too big of a risk. Yeah. Graby, what about you? Being the wheeler dealer that you are out there.
Well, Garrett Crochet did help me win a fantasy championship last year.
He's really basing his opinions off of.
I don't know about his arm going forward. I don't think you can give up someone who's very good or very highly coveted.
Let me ask you, here's a better question. Who would that player be?
Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And we're not giving up Jackson Merrill.
Oh, come on.
Right. That's what the White Sox want.
Put Jackson aside. Is there another player?
Not a discussion.
Give me a second.
No.
On the team?
There isn't. I don't think there's another player that...
Luis Arraez?
He's not gonna get Crochet.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't think so. So you think the only thing that we get Crochet is Jackson Merrill, then that's a waste of our time.
I'm not saying Jackson Merrill. I'm just saying it's going to have to be a caliber player of that. I mean, Jackson was an all-star, so maybe he's a tier too high, but just below that. And who is that player on the Padres roster?
I have two names. Ethan Salas.
Nope.
Is it DeVries or DeVry?
They say they want a guy that
is ready.
Is ready. Those guys ain't ready.
We don't have one. I mean, we have too much money invested in Cronenworth and in Bogarts and in Manny, and we have too much invested in Merrill and Fernando. So that's it. I mean, who else would be qualified for this?
Here's one I've been seeing.
We don't have basically what I'm trying to say is we don't have the player, or we aren't willing to move that player.
Okay. Here's what I've been seeing a little bit on social media. And this would be kind of cold because Dylan Cease was a White Sox, but because he only has one more year left, we're not sure if he's going to re-sign with the team, he would probably get you.
No.
I know he's not going to get a righty for a left.
Well, they're not going to get Garrett Crochet. They just said they want a position player.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make it work.
Yeah, well, you're not. Stop listening to social media because that's where you said
social media just led you down the road to ruin there.
It wasn't necessarily they're saying Garrett.
By the way, he would. Dylan Cease just got out of there. What makes you think he would sign a free agent deal there? So it's like a rental player, basically.
Can we strike that for a record? Yeah. That was pretty stupid.
Too late. Too late.
Everybody already heard. I would say don't look at the chat right now.
You're dumb and you said it. All right. Program is underway.
Wait. Hold on. Hey, did Kirby Smart just walk in the room?
It took you a little bit to catch it. I was waiting for you to catch it.
I was reading some of the comments, but yeah. Here's a comment. Luis Campusano and some more.
I don't think
Luis did enough to draw Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
We'll continue to kick it around here, Gwen and Chris, and you know, the other guy here who makes outlandish suggestions. Aztecs did win very comfortably last night. We'll talk about that a little bit and more as Gwen and Chris resumes on 97.3 The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
.223 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Hanging out till 6 o'clock. Bryce Miller will join us later in the 2 o'clock hour. Brett Sobleski in the 5 o'clock hour. Talk a little NFL. We have our first dose of a new segment called Debate.
Well, I think it's called, what was the name, Chris? It was Face Off, right?
What was it?
We could do Face Off.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, still coming together.
Still in development.
Yep. I have it written down somewhere.
No, point, counterpoint.
That's it.
Was point, what I had. And my idea, try this, Tony, was for both of us to turn sideways in the camera so it looks like we're arguing with each other.
I got to figure out which way is that. Look at the camera.
Let me see.
This way?
Yeah,
you look
good.
That
That's
way,
perfect.
Then I'd have to look this way.
That's perfect.
But right. It'd be kind of silly we'd talk like this
because
the time.
Mic doesn't stretch out
the
that
mic
far.
Doesn't work that way, but that was kind of one of my thoughts.
Yes, point counterpoint is what
point,
I have.
Point counterpoint, we're going to have that new debut segment at 3:40 today. If I were you, I would set my clock because you don't want to miss the very first one.
No. There's a couple of reasons, right. It could be brilliant.
It could go on to be one of the greatest segments, and then you would say you're there from the beginning.
Right.
And then the other thing is it has a chance to fail miserably.
And never hear from it again.
Because it's not been tested on an audience. Like, we didn't bring in an audience and test it. No. You're the test out there.
That's what I love about this show is we just try things, and if it doesn't work, then we get rid of it, and we'll never speak of it again.
Like it never happened.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like this game I played when Chris was on vacation. It was maybe the worst. It was a fill-in game for Chris versus the Fans. Mm-hmm. And during the middle of it, I'm like, this is terrible, but I'm going to keep going with it.
Who was with you on this one?
Adam was here that day.
Okay.
Yeah, Adam didn't really. I explained the game to him, and I could kind of tell, like, this is too complicated.
See, Adam lets you go out on the plank by yourself.
That's
there.
Fine. I needed it.
Yeah, you know.
I needed it.
You know darn well if that Chris and I were here, we probably wouldn't have gotten to the stage floor on that one.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
What are we thinking about a basketball game where the Aztecs lead 18-0? Make 18 threes, hit 10 of their first 12. They're on pace to score 180 points for a while. They end up beating Occidental 100-49. I know that you have to play one non-division, one opponent every year, but I kind of felt like that was almost a waste last night.
It shouldn't.
I mean, they got to run up and down the floor and all that, but I mean, what did we really learn watching them shoot uncontested shots all night against an overmatched opponent?
It may not necessarily be for our team to learn anything in that game, at least in terms of, a tough opponent.
But, right.
You know, get out there on the floor, continue to get the conditioning that you're going to need all season long.
And get some of the young guys a little extra playing time. I know Kimo Ferrari got in there and hit three threes in like a minute.
That's a sweet name, by the way.
Kimo Ferrari.
I mean, come on.
I mean, the Aztecs looked like, it's crazy to think that I'm sure Occidental's a really good basketball team for their division and their level, but isn't it crazy to think that there's levels that are so far above that?
Yeah.
That unfortunately for Occidental, they didn't even look like they should be out. I mean, there was no. It was such a total mismatch. And it's kind of what I was thinking as I was watching it was, you know, when people say, I wonder if Alabama could beat the Panthers in a football game because Carolina's 0-15 and Alabama's Alabama.
Right.
And it just makes me laugh. I'm like, no, there's no chance.
There's levels to it.
There's totally different levels, and this was like a totally different level thing last night.
Yeah.
So.
No, and I think it really is more about getting these guys more, especially the young guys.
Get them some playing time.
Especially the young guys more playing time. Because, you know, the once the calendar turns the next week, the opponents,
they're going from Occidental to the number four team in the nation on Monday in Gonzaga.
Right.
That's going to be a rude awakening if the Aztecs aren't ready for it.
And from that point on, all of their opponents are of that
ilk. They got Creighton.
They may not be number four, but they're going to be all tough opponents.
Creighton is ranked.
Yeah.
Oregon is right there in the rankings. And then their last game in the Las Vegas tournament is undetermined. But it could be like Alabama, who's number two in the nation, right? I mean, and it's going to be somebody amazing. Their next four games, they're going to be underdog in all four games,
no
frankly.
Doubt. And it's necessary because that then gets them ready for what we believe is the toughest, one of the toughest conferences in all of the country. So
the next four games, I'm going to learn a lot. But if you're asking me what I learned last night.
Not much.
It was hard to, it's really hard to. I mean, they were shooting Wayne McKinney three. The third was shooting threes with impunity. I mean, he's just, running around a screen and just rising up and, nothing to stop him.
He was three for three from behind the arc
at the beginning,
first half.
Yeah. And Gwath hit his first two threes. Gwath, I think, blocked four shots in the opening minute of the game. Like, poor Occidental came down. Guy tried to throw one up in the lane.
Block.
Gwath was like, no. It's not coming. No. Not getting through.
I got to wonder, Occidental, they get paid to go there. They get to play a big team.
Yeah.
Is that really that good for them?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't know how good it is for them either because it's such a mismatch that I don't see it being great for anybody.
That cash is definitely...
The cash is helpful.
Is helpful.
Yeah. I'm sure it is.
Like, for their program alone, that cash is helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so you take your lumps, unfortunately.
And the Aztecs officially go to 2-0. They get so I guess there's that.
All right. Let's step away. When we come back, Padres are on top of the mind. Bryce Miller here to answer those questions. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
All right, welcome back. Gwen and Chris underway for a Wednesday. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by my guys, Buffalo Wild Wings. Head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings. Try their new maple chipotle sauce, rich maple sweetness, and a mild smoky chipotle heat. Or, for a bit of a kick, check out the new Cajun sauce. For a rich blend of spicy and tangy pepper sauce, stop by your San Diego B-dubs. Order now for a takeout or delivery. Buffalo Wild Wings, go. Bryce Miller, San Diego Union Tribune, is going to join us shortly. Before we get to that, though, we started the show talking about the huge truck that were parked next to my car, taking up the entire parking lot today. And backing into their spaces and just basically lording over the area as if they owned it. Tony, you got a tweet along these lines.
Came from GetBZ112.
Okay.
At King Leo XXXX.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't know how long this started, but I despise the backward parkers. The worst is in a crowded parking lot, and the person in front of you passes up a space, and then they flip it into reverse, and you have to back up with cars behind you.
Ah, that can happen.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I must say, I consider myself a considerate backwards parker.
You are a backwards parker.
I am definitely a backwards parker. But if there are cars behind me, I will pull into my parking spot normal.
Okay.
And let the cars go by. And
that's
then,
nice.
Then go into my reverse mode.
Okay, very good.
Because I do recognize the inconvenience that it can cause if I decide to pull it off with cars behind me. Now, however, if I pull into the parking lot and there's no car behind me at first, and then I get into my spiel, then, of course, I'm just going
to finish. Then they have to wait.
Yeah. I think it's harder to back in without cars around you. I'd much rather have the cars with me so that I can have, barriers just so
well,
I can
no,
get
I'm
back.
Not talking about cars in the parking spot. I'm talking about cars waiting to go by.
Tony, what is your strategy for backing in an open parking lot and making sure that you are between the lines, because I honestly am not good enough to do that, which is why I don't attempt it.
Your backwards camera should help.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't use the backwards
the
camera
backwards
to do it.
Well, it gives you the tire track.
I use my side mirrors.
What
a great driver Tony is.
And man. Thanks, Richard Petty.
And I'm constantly looking to see so if I'm pulling in and I'm going, let's say I'm coming pulling in right, I've got my car swerved to the right. So now I'm looking out my left mirror. I'm looking for that far line, and I'm trying to get not too close because I don't want to be the dude that has my tires on the line. I want to leave some space.
Fair enough.
I truly try to be considerate of the parkers next to me.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
I believe
Tony's a considerate
parker. The behemoth truck.
And I don't have a behemoth truck either, so that makes it a little bit easier.
No, you have a fair-sized
vehicle. I put a poll on YouTube. Are you a backwards parker? So if you're watching YouTube, look for this poll. I'm trying these new poll things. And yes, 71%, which is ridiculous.
71%?
It's an easy getaway, man. You get in the car, boom, in the drive. You ain't got to back out.
Who's in that much of a hurry? Relax.
We all are. It's 2024.
But why are you not in a hurry when you arrive to where you'd want to just pull straight in? Well, you gotta back up at some point.
You're either taking the time in or on the way out. I choose to take the time on the way in.
Do. I think our guest might have some thoughts on this, too. I'm not
Bryce
sure.
Miller?
Bryce always has some thoughts.
Bryce Miller's our guy. We appreciate him, as always. He joins us here on Gwen and Chris. How are you, Bryce? Did you park straight in with your car at work today, or did you back in? Or did you have to parallel park? I hope that wasn't the case.
Well, since my office is my couch a lot of times, I didn't have to think about parking. I left the car where it was when I woke up this morning, and I didn't have to make a critical decision like that.
Ah, very good. That's a nice, relaxing day for you, and that is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Bryce, let's talk a little bit about the Padres' options right now. I think, first of all, I would ask, what do you think is not really an option in the sense that things that they absolutely positively have to find a way to get done this offseason? What are your top few?
I mean, you always need pitching. But, you know, in this situation with Musgrove essentially going to miss the entire regular season in 2025, that kind of accelerates the urgency, I think, a little bit. We're all hearing more and more about Roki Sasaki. The Dodgers have to be favorites for him. You can't operate and plan as if you're going to get a player like that. It's more like you hit the jackpot financially and talent-wise, and in a control sense, if you do end up with him, you've got to find starting pitching. I think it starts there for sure.
Bryce, a few days ago you wrote about the Padres locking up Mike Schilt. I think a few days later, it was Ruben Niebla who they locked up. But you wrote in the Union about the relationship between Mike Schilt and A.J. Preller. And, you know, I think for some years now, although there may not have been any, you know, real friction between A.J. and any of his managers, there does this seem to be some cohesiveness between him and Mike, and you wrote about the importance of that moving forward.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, just the language and the tenor of that Zoom call announcing the extension, you didn't hear that with previous managers. And again, I think your point is well made that doesn't mean there was necessarily friction in those cases, although there certainly was, toward the end, at the very least, with Bob Melvin. I mean, I think that was pretty obvious the way everything ended between Melvin and Preller and the Padres. But there is a connection. Preller wanted a guy who could balance the worlds of analytics and kind of old school baseball, find comfort in living in that new world too. Somebody who would, you know, follow the plan, work more hand in hand, not create, you know, basically it gives them a clean and comfortable slate going into next season. You know, one less thing to worry about in the front office and in the clubhouse. And so I think that was an important move. And I think if you were paying attention, you felt the difference in terms of relationship between those two guys.
Yeah.
Bryce Miller is our guy, San Diego Union Tribune, outstanding columnist, as you know, joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Bryce, let's say for a moment that ESPN calls and they have you on, and they have you on with a writer from Pittsburgh, and they ask you to go first and make the case for Jackson Merrill to absolutely positively be named the Rookie of the Year. Now, we know the voting's already taken place. You can't sway any voters at this point, right. But... what would your argument be ahead of the Pittsburgh guy, who I'm sure would probably be arguing the other side?
Well, I mean, you start with him being an everyday player, Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
I mean, he impacts the team every day, and he does it in multiple ways. Not, you know, Paul Skeens is incredible, and in almost any given year, he'd be a very worthy recipient, and maybe he still will end up winning that award this year, but. Merrill impacts a team at the plate with his defense, with his arm, the energy he brings day after day that all Skeens can't because he's on the mound every fifth day. But you go there and look, if you want to shift over and say, okay, let's take the names off the jerseys and let's dive into numbers or analytics or find some, you know, disconnect from the emotion of it or biases related to who you think should win that award. Jackson Merrill has the best F war of those two players. Jackson Merrill, it wouldn't have been a factor, but he just won a Silver Slugger award, which showed his impact offensively, something that Paul Skeens can't offer. So I just think I remember I did something with Fred Lynn, the old all-star and AL Rookie of the Year, MVP, lives in North County, and he didn't hesitate. I asked him about that, and he goes, you know, it's an everyday player. It's every single day this guy is influencing the outcome of games, helping your team, and a pitcher every fifth day can't do that.
Yeah, all of us everyday players stick together. You're never gonna let that one go.
Look, I'm a pitcher, and I'm still sticking up with you guys on this one.
Bryce Miller joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Bryce, I wonder, you know, going into the offseason last year, however it came to light, it definitely came to light that the Padres were looking to cut cost. This offseason, that information hasn't really leaked out in the way that it did last year. Well, why do you think that is? And do you think the Padres could perhaps add a little salary or a little money to the books this year?
Well, I think it hasn't come out because I'm not sure. I think it's probably still a bit of work in progress. Last year it was more cut and dried because you had to reduce payroll to get under the penalty threshold. Which was increasing and intensifies the more years you're over one of those thresholds on the competitive balance tax, basically their version of the luxury tax. And so they had to reset that clock, and they were committed to doing that. And then once they did that, they moved forward. That was such a bedrock part of the plan at the beginning that they knew where they were at. But right now there's some unknowns. I mean, Who are you going to lose in free agency? I mean, it looks like unless they bring him back, you may have a little flexibility with the money you would have paid Ha-Seong Kim. But at the same time, arbitration eligible players who are getting paid more in the upcoming season than they were this year, that payroll is naturally going to increase from last year. So even though I think they have some flexibility to consider some moves, I think it'll have to be fairly restrained. I think it's still something that number is a little bit fluid depending on the situation with multiple players. And so I think they're working through that, and they may not have that completely targeted and zeroed in because there's still dollars that could fluctuate.
Bryce, what do you say to Padre fans in general who are disappointed, rightly so, that they didn't get it done this year? I'm trying to remind people that this is one of the glory stretches of the history of Padre baseball. There haven't been many stretches where the team's been relevant for 5-6 years in a row. Figure to be relevant moving forward. I mean, can we appease everybody or at least calm everybody's nerves with the notion that they should be right back there at the end next year with a similar opportunity?
You would certainly think they're in position to do that. I mean, cap tip to A.J. Preller's creativity this year, what he did, and not just who he got, but who he got early with Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez and everything they were able to do. The trade that, when Juan Soto left, the sky is falling for a hot minute, and then all of a sudden you go, I can see Michael King pitching here for a long time. And, and they got more arms out of that. And Kyle Higashioka, I was looking up today, free agents position by position, and of the free agent catchers, he has the highest WAR. So his impact, he had a really hot stretch where he showed a lot of power. But over the course of the whole year, very solid at a position the Padres have really struggled to find talent at in the last, 5-6 years. And to your point, second most wins in regular season history, you're essentially three outs away from your second NLCS in 3 years. You push the Dodgers farther than anyone else in baseball did with that lineup and a bullpen that was incredible at exactly the right time. Depending what this offseason looks like and, how they fill out the rest of that rotation and creativity and what do they do at shortstop. And there are questions, there always are. But, yeah, you feel like they're positioned to compete year in, year out here for a stretch.
Bryce, you bring up the shortstop position. And if all things are true, at least from the standpoint of what we've read, Ha-Sung Kim may very well not be in a Padre uniform. You mentioned Sasaki at the beginning of the conversation and the Dodgers being the favorite. Certainly, it seems to be, from what we've read, a relationship between Sasaki and Yu Darvish. The Padres, from a price standpoint, that's clearly the spot that seems like could be a fit for the Padres. But at the shortstop position, they got a bunch of guys who are already in-house that have played the position. How do you see that position in particular shaking out? And do you think that the Dodgers should be the favorite, given kind of the connections with Yu Darvish and Sasaki?
Yeah, I guess on the shortstop position first, I just think it's funny that for a team just loaded with shortstop, there's still shortstop. a year ago we're going like, is everyone out here on the field a shortstop?
Yeah.
The thing I think about, I've heard some people say, Jackson Merrill's so young, so versatile. You can move him back to the infield. You could put Bogarts at second if you had to. Maybe Jake's at first. We don't know what's happening with, BH. There's a lot of interconnected questions. But I don't like moving players out of position where they really shine. So,
right.
And center field's a premium defensive position. So is shortstop. But center field is the most important position in the outfield. And you found a guy that just not only, succeeded there, he thrived. And, Fernando Tatis Jr., there's another guy who played shortstop. But he's a platinum glove right fielder. He's got, arguably, if not the best, one of the best arms in baseball from the outfield. And his speed, so the speed you have in center field and right field now to cover ground is one of the very best in baseball. And I don't know if you mess with that, even if you're talking about shortstop. So maybe you start Bogarts there, but that will be one of the questions of the spring. I know A.J. Preller had told Kevin Acey on our staff that they want to decide that sooner, get locked in so Xander Bogarts isn't guessing, where he's at tomorrow, which makes sense. But that's a big question going into the season. As far as Sasaki, I wrote a notes column that'll run tomorrow, but one of the things I brought up, even though the Dodgers have to be a big favorite, I mean, the Japanese following in Dodger baseball is unmatched, and Shohei Ohtani accelerated that, amplified that, you know, when he came, and then you got Yamamoto, and that's a factor, and they just won a World Series, and they've got to be a favorite to win more than one in this stretch where Ohtani's there. So that's a pretty big carrot. But in the notes thing, I wrote that one of the things besides the relationship with Darvish and them playing together at the World Baseball Classic, I remember talking to Preller when they signed Soto in 2022, and he told the story about where he memorized the speech in Japanese. It was like 6.5 minutes. and he said that to Ohtani.
Oh, yeah.
And they were close to getting Ohtani. At least it sounds like he thought about it. Even though at that point, the National League didn't have a DH. I mean, he wasn't a fit for San Diego at that point. But just that detail, you know, that thinking. And I remember Preller's quote, so I included it tomorrow. It's online now. But basically saying they know those details matter.
Yeah.
So they will do something that will catch Roki Sasaki's attention. Whether it's enough, we'll find out.
That's always enough having you on the show, Bryce. We appreciate great insight as always. Continued good luck. Enjoy the holiday season coming up, and we'll catch up with you soon, sir.
Okay, park carefully.
Thanks, Bryce.
Thank you, sir. Bryce Miller, always good with a quip from the San Diego Union Tribune. I think he hits it on the head with the Sasaki. I mean,
yeah.
The Dodgers have the name. Whoever else has this and that, AJ's not going to leave a stone unturned, though.
You already
know
that.
If he wants him, he's gonna try every angle he can try, and you know he's got some bullets to fire.
In AJ, we should trust because he does. He's not going to leave that detail that Bryce is speaking of. He's not going to leave that unchecked.
All right, 1 hour in. Good show. Still coming up after a crazy. Good first hour. More Gwen and Chris. Daily Gambit starts hour number two.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.